Genesis 45, 5 through 8. We're going to have it up there for you. How about that? Yes, it is. Here we go. Are you ready? All right. Stay awake now. Watch this. I like this, and it's still cutting off. Check this out. It says in verse 5, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Pause for a moment. Joseph is talking to his brothers who had sold him into slavery. And now he's being reintroduced to them. He's saying, "Hey, it's me, your brother, the one that you sold into slavery because you were jealous of. You tried to get rid of me." And look what he's saying. He's telling them right there in verse 5. He says, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." Watch what he goes on to say. "For God sent me before you to preserve life." Now notice it was the brothers that sold him. But Joseph's response is, "God sent me here. You sold me, but God sent me." How many of you have ever had someone do something to you? And you were angry with them. And when you finally confronted them, you said, "Well, you did this." "Oh, I know, you're all perfect in here. You don't ever blame anybody for your problems." I know. I don't ever blame anybody either. Right? It's the electric company's fault they shut you off. It's everybody else's problem. But he has a different outlook than most of us. When you and I have a problem, if I took you in my car and threw you out of the car 30 miles away from home, you'd be mad and you'd say, "Well, I didn't get home in time because you threw me out of the car." But Joseph's response is, "Yeah, you did that, but God sent me here." Because he understood there was more to it. Even before his brothers had tricked him and sold him into slavery, his brothers were jealous of him simply because the word was working in his life. How many know there are some people that are jealous of you and I? They get angry with us. Some people just misunderstand us because sometimes they see the favor of God on us and it frustrates them. I preached a message many years ago that's called "Favor Isn't Fair." Understanding that the favor of God falls on you and I, and sometimes unfair things happen. Meaning God will bless you and everyone around you, Vanessa's like, "How's that even right?" Because they may see what you do wrong. They may see all the imperfections about you and they think you don't deserve it. But God sees you. And when God sees you and I, he says, "But you're the apple of my eye." He looks at you and the Bible says that he calls you and I, Vanessa, fearfully and wonderfully made. And everybody who's close to you sees you and sees all your issues and problems. Come on, y'all have issues and problems too. So the people that know you the most know your flaws more closely, right? And so a lot of times it's your family, your spouse, those around you that think you didn't deserve that blessing. How's come you're so special? And so it was Joseph's brothers that were jealous of him. They were irritated. They were irked with him, and so they wanted to get rid of him. They sold him into slavery, and Joseph is now reintroduced to them years later, and he's saying, "Hey, you did it. But don't be grieved. Don't be angry with yourself. Don't be angry with yourself." How many have ever made a mistake and then later in life you were angry about the decision you made? You say, "If I would have known then what I know now." Yeah. Yes. But I've learned to understand there are some times that you and I make decisions and it affects my destiny. But I've also earned, I know what it is, and we're going to get there this morning, what it is when the Bible says that your footsteps have been ordered of the Lord. That as long as you and I are walking and standing in the will of God, whatever's happening to you has happened because it is first passed through the hands of God. Sometimes it's easy to blame a lot of things on the devil, but I've had to learn one thing. Either it's the devil's fault or it's happened because of a decision I made. But not everything is the enemy's fault. Because God wants you and I to understand that he has us covered and that we are protected. Even in Psalms, he says that he who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, meaning God has you and I covered, that we're protected. How many of you know the reason we got in trouble was because of some decisions we made, meaning I chose to get out from underneath the covering of God. Otherwise, if I had just chilled and stayed where I was, God had me protected. right? The popo never would have found me. But they found you, right? Or they caught up with you, right? Because I made a decision, right? Or you and I made a decision. We sometimes make decisions that take us outside of the will or the footsteps that God ordered for us. Hallelujah. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at verse 6. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And verse 7, the focus of it. And God sent me before you, this is Joseph again talking to his brothers, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. What? The very people who sold him off, Joseph saying, God sent me here to deliver you. How about that? Isn't that just about like God works, though? God makes me laugh, David. Because some of the things that God makes and puts us in positions to do, I realize that I know things, sometimes God puts us in positions that make even himself chuckle. I'm serious. Haven't you ever been in a situation similar to that? And you're just like, you're really enjoying this, God. You love it, you know? God put Joseph in a situation where he comes back to his brothers and he says that God has brought me here to this position. Look what he says there in verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. They would be spared, that they would be the very people who turned against him, who wanted to work against him. God sent him there to save and to work with. Hallelujah. It's a bold declaration. It's really something bold that Joseph is saying. There's really a work of love that's happening in his life. And this is even before Jesus. But there's a great work of love, but a bold declaration that he makes to his brothers. His own brothers, his own kin turned against him when they saw that the word of God was working in his life. Hallelujah. Sometimes we all have an enemy from time to time in our life. Especially when the word of God is working in our life. We'll have enemies. And what I've learned about our enemies, both in the word and in my own life, is that when people hate you, they show you that the value and the authenticity that you and each of us have in the earth. A lot of times, you and I look at people who don't like us very much, who talk about us, who cause issues in our life. But what God really shows us, even through the story of Joseph, is what our enemies do for us. What they really do for us is they end up showing us our own value and our authenticity in the earth. That's what they'll do for you. They'll do a lot more for you, which I'll try to get into today. But you'll come to find out that your enemies have done far more for you than your friends ever have. Let the church say amen. Amen. See, we don't like to look at life that way, but when we begin to really understand the Bible, you're going to find out that your enemies worked better and did more for you than your friends ever did. Some of you are saying, well, you don't have friends like I do. I promise you, when you really see the word and you see how God will use those who persecute you to bless you, and how God will take all things and make them to work for your good, if you'll begin to look at your life differently, you'll realize that everyone who ever was raised against you or did something against you, I promise you, they have advanced you in your life. The reason you are where you are right now, the reason you even rose above it, the reason you ever came out of the issues and the problems you ever were in was because of some enemy, somebody that didn't like you, somebody that told on you, somebody that complained on you, somebody that has always had an attitude against you. Haven't you ever realized that it's the people who have caused you problems and issues and strife in life that has caused you to rise above it? There might have been a time or two you got down and dirty with them, right? You got in the mud with them and wallowed around and fought ugly. Come on. But more than not, you have rose above it. The reason we are sitting here today is because we rose above it. You got out of it. You decided to distance yourself from it. Joseph ends up getting where he is, and he's now in Potiphar's house. He's been used and appointed by God. He's been doing marvelous things because, yes, his brothers turned against him and sold him off, but God had anointed and appointed him for such a time as this. And God had bigger dreams and bigger things for him than his brothers tried to destroy. And whatever God started in his life, God decided he was going to finish. God will do the same thing in our lives. It's often the agitation and trouble that you and I face. And what our agitation, how many have ever been agitated? Some of us are just always agitated. Come on. You weren't supposed to put your hand up, Keisha. It was all right. It was just a statement. You know, I said some of you all are always agitated, and she's like, yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying. The agitation and the trouble that we face, you know what it is? It's simply because of the gifting that you and I carry and the position that God has you and I in the earth. Do you know why? I've often said it this way. You know how you know what you're called to? By what irritates you. I used to tell people that would complain in church, you know, after when you're pastor for all these years and you know, grow up in church, you hear complaints. Come on, somebody. And I've learned that people can come to me with complaints, but what people have learned not to do is don't come to me with complaints because I'll put you to work. Because the minute you come to me with a complaint, I now know what you're called to do, and that will be your job. People come and say, you know, Branger, I was sitting there and I saw cobwebs above your head up by the lights. Praise God. Are you going to start cleaning the church for us then? How about that? We'll put you on a rotating schedule. You know, preacher, it's really nice. I enjoy coming, but we need this. That's how you'll know what your job is. When you are able, and it's not wrong that you're critical. How many of you know, thank God that sometimes we're able to see the things that aren't right. How you know what you're called to do. People that are looking for their purpose in life, you know what your purpose is by what you're critical of. It's the thing that God's calling you to make right. Yes, hallelujah. And all the husbands and wives say amen. The very thing you're nagging your spouse about, that's what you're called to do to make it right. When things aren't clean just the way you like it, get up and get to cleaning. When things aren't working all for your good, but yet you keep noticing it, that's just God calling you to do something more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. And so the same is true about what I'm saying. It's what is agitating you. It is what troubles you that helps you and I to identify what our gifting and what our position is here in the earth. When you see certain things that irritate you on the news, you need to know that that's God calling you to do something about it. When there are things that are happening in our nation and irritating you to some degree, or if you watch the news and get irritated by what politicians do, maybe God's calling you to do something. Right? There are all kinds of ways. And so the way that you know what your position is, how to fulfill your dreams is what irritates you. What has you so agitated? What's causing the chip on your shoulder? Yes, hallelujah. Something to think about. That's not the baseline of my message. It's just something I'm throwing in for free for you because I think it's important. There's a lot of us, we attend church and we're trying to get our lives in order, but we don't know what our purpose is. And God has given everyone in this place a purpose. And one of the easiest, it may not be the end result, but you'll start working in your purpose if you'll start responding to whatever it is you're critical to. Oh, thank you, Lord. So the next time your spouse is being critical and nagging you, I'm going to give you all ammunition now. And they're on you about something you need to do or you didn't do. Just say, well, honey, I just remember what Pastor said. He said that's what you're called to do. Get busy. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Yes, you love it, Lois, until he turns the word on you. See, the word will work in your life if you'll work the word. That's you putting the word at action in your marriage, in your life. It will work for you. It will. That's God helping you to find out your purpose. Because you know what you'll find? Lord, I don't even want to go here today, but for some reason I am. You know what you'll find? When you stop being critical of those things and you just start doing it because it irritates you by it not getting done, haven't you found that you lose more joy and get more disgruntled and have more anger and rage by stewing over it than just getting up and doing it? The Bible says that God desires that you have a life and that you enjoy it abundantly. Abundantly means superabundance. you'll find that you're going to enjoy life a whole lot more if you stop dwelling on the things that you have expectation and others do. Because let me point that out to you, but your expectation, never theirs. Hallelujah.
Preaching good today, preacher.
See, we get all been out of shape and upset over the very thing you expected someone to do. They never said they were going to do it. You just assumed they would. But yet it's your gifting and calling that you're sitting on, and it's making you irritable and frustrated because God's allowing this to happen. You think they're just being lazy. No, God's saying, I want you to get up. I want you to do something. I'm trying to bring joy to your life, right? Some of you think, well, you mean washing the dishes brings joy? Yeah, if that's you. There are some people that are called to servanthood, called to be a helps ministry, meaning you're the kind of people that you come to church and you sit there and it clutter drives you crazy. Hallelujah. I can't stand it. When I look into the balcony and I see all the clothes that are up there for the spring and summer, for the clothing bank, it drives me nuts. And I got to look at it every Sunday. Y'all don't see it. And if you don't work in the balcony, you don't see it, but it drives me nuts. Yeah, that's my calling. It's true. That's why if I see a mess long enough, I'll just deal with it. I will. People will say, Pastor, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, if I see it long enough, if you walk past it 15 times, then yes, I'm going to deal with it. Yeah. Wives, don't tell your husbands, don't touch something because you're going to do it. Because then if you never do it, shut up when they do. They're fulfilling their calling. Come on, somebody. Oh, see, now y'all getting quiet. If nothing else, you're going to learn that, yes, God has you covered, but that you've got a calling and a purpose, and that you're going to find it by what irritates you. Hallelujah. What you're learning is that there are some battles. I want you to see even beyond it. Even with the story of Joseph, there are some battles that God hasn't called you and I to fight. What I've learned is when I'm in the midst of any battle, it's not about me. I've learned so much about myself through the Word of God that when I am in the midst of any battle, whether it's the devil himself or working through people or a financial strain or a problem in the church or anything, it's not about me. As long as I am divinely planted where I need to be, the battle is not about me. Do you know why I'm not a person that loses sleep when I'm in the midst of trouble? Used to. But if you're someone who you lose sleep when you're having a problem in your life, it's because you're making the battle about you. See, the one way you know that you trust in God is when you can lay your head down and sleep at night in perfect peace, and you know you don't know what the outcome's going to be. Maybe you're on the verge of losing everything. You don't know where you're going to lay your head down tomorrow, and yet you can still sleep. It's because you've not made the battle about you. He said, Lord, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm leaning not onto my own understanding, meaning, Lord, I'm not going to get in the way of this.
That's pretty good.
Thank you, Lord. It's not about me. Say that out loud. Say, it's not about me. How many of you ever get frustrated with people church people that'll be honest when you fight with your spouse? When you fight with your spouse, that's the reason why some of us can disconnect so easily and others of you dwell on it. How many of you just don't know how to let something go? Mm-hmm. And yet you probably married someone that can let it go so easily. Yeah, because they have the ability to disconnect and you do not. They have the ability to realize it's not about me. They don't take it personally and we do. You know the lesson that God wants you to learn? A lot of times we're that way and we make it about us is because we grew up in an environment where it was always about you. That's not your fault. It's just we have to unlearn some things. We have to unlearn the fact that we grew up thinking we were doing it right and really we're not. We're in a place and God's saying, I want you to learn more about you, but the only way you're going to learn more about you is when you know who I am. And the only way you know who I am is that trust me that what I'm doing and what I've ordered, the steps I've ordered for you, they've been ordered of the Lord. It means you can lay down at night and you can rest peacefully knowing that when you get up tomorrow, the same earth that you went to bed in is the same one you're going to wake up. The same God that you went to bed praying to is the same God you're going to wake up and say, good morning, Lord, how are you? Amen. Because God's ways are not man's ways. How many times have you heard me say God's methods often look like madness? They do. That's why you and I are like, God, what are you doing? We say that about the election. We say that about our country. Some of you say that about your spouse. You're like, God, what are you doing? I've been praying for them, and they're acting like a fool. That's the very evidence you know that God's working on them. When I pray for people and they're more irritable and angry and lashing out and I get nasty, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because God's methods often look like madness. Let them get irritable. Some of you are thinking, this preacher's lost his mind. No, it's proof that God's at work. The same way you came to Jesus is the same way they will. You bucked and screamed and whined and cried too. Just let them have their moment and they will eventually surrender. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says your footsteps are ordered of the Lord. You know what that word ordered means? Get ready. It means manipulated and fabricated. That'll mess with your theology if you don't listen closely. In other words, God is orchestrating your life. I think I'll use an illustration before I have to quit today to help you understand what it is that God, that your footsteps are ordered of the Lord. And when I say ordered, meaning manipulated or fabricated, meaning that God has planned your day out for you already. And it's going to work just how God had designed and planned it to, unless you choose to step outside the will of God. How many have looked back over your life and you thought, if I just had made the decision to go there, that never would have happened? Oh, yes. It was everything up to that point was ordered of the Lord until you made the decision to step outside the will of God and do something on your own. See, God does have us covered until I allow my flesh to take over and fulfill a desire of its own. Meaning, God does have your marriage or your relationship covered until you shoot your mouth off and say something that God didn't want you to say. And you knew it before you said it, but you let your mouth get away. And then we deal with the collateral damage of what we said. Hello. See, I'm preaching to somebody. I don't know who it is. Hallelujah. Our footsteps are ordered of the Lord. When I read that and I look at it more and more, and I've studied about the steps that God has ordered of our life, and when I've studied how all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, that's why I come up with the understanding and realizing through the many stories and the people of Scripture that my friends often create comfort, but enemies create reward and challenges in my life. Because if God makes everything work together for my good, and He has ordered my footsteps, yes, friends in my life, they'll bring comfort to my life. But it is my enemies that are often what bring me the reward and what also brings me challenges. It's the people who have challenged me. It's the people who have argued with me. It's the people who irritate me often that end up provoking you and I to advancement and promotion. Had Joseph's brothers never sold him into slavery, he never would have gotten to the opportunity to be where he is. He had some of the greatest influence of the Old Testament that we ever see, but it was because his own brothers turned on him, sold him into slavery, left him to just waste away and be nothing and work himself to death the rest of the days of his life. But God had a plan. And God said, what you meant for evil, I will turn around for your good, right? And so that's why I know that whatever it's good to have friends and we all need them, but friends just keep you comfortable. But enemies will challenge you, and they'll challenge you so much that they'll end up bringing a reward in your life. They'll set you up. What I've learned is that oftentimes what we see as a setup, what we see as a setback is really God setting us up. You've got to realize that's why you and I need to thank God for our enemies. You need to thank God for the people who don't like you, who left you, who abandoned you, the people who talk about you, the people who still 20 years later still talking about you. Just thank God for it. Maybe one day you just need to do something really and call 1-800-FLOWERS and send your enemy flowers and just say thank you. Because they did more for you than your friends ever did. People are always texting thank you. And somebody this morning was texting me thank you. They're like, thank you. You know, going back and forth. I really, really appreciate you. And I appreciate that. But also sometimes you need to text your enemies and just say thank you. And they're going to say for what? For hating me. because they don't understand what good they've done for you, that it helps to really advance you, that it's helped to really promote you, because God has used what they've said and what they've done against you to promote you. And if you haven't seen the fruit of it yet, you will. People talk about you. People talk about the ministry. It's free advertisement. Thanks. Didn't even have to pay for it. Because out of people's curiosity, they'll click on and look and see what's happening. Out of people's curiosity, they'll check out the website and see, how is the church doing all those things? Because they gave free advertisement and they criticized us. Right? So you need to begin to see with God order all of our footsteps, everything that's happening in our life, it's being ordered of the Lord, that God has you and I covered. He's got us protected. I believe that. Even back in Scripture, there's a story of the Israelites. I know many of you remember it. Story of the Israelites when they were standing against the Red Sea. And we know the story of them when they cross over and the waters part. Amen? But many of you, what you don't know through without studying the Scripture in great detail is that the waters didn't part until they were in the midst of the water and it was right up to their nose. Uh-huh. How many of you and I would have turned back when the water didn't part and it was up to here? Right. How many of in the church would have panicked the minute you got the first little sniff of water up your nose because of the waves, right? And yet they kept on going and they kept on going. What you and I need to realize in that, what God is trying to say to us even through that story is that he has you and I. That we just need to keep on walking. We need to keep moving. That God has us protected. That God has us covered. Sometimes we feel like we are overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like we're going to suffocate. I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes there's so much going on, you can feel like you're losing your own breath. That you don't have the energy to go another day. And when they were crossing over that Red Sea, it probably felt like they were going to suffocate and they were going to drown. And they're probably thinking, Moses, you done lost your mind. You said one thing, but we haven't seen it manifest yet. Sound familiar? And he just said, just keep walking, just keep going. And as they all got to the place where they likely could have drowned, then God drove back the waters. God wanted to see if their faith was enough to keep on walking. See, you and I have got to keep on walking, trusting and knowing and believing that God is who he says he is, no matter what it looks like. We've got to trust and hang on as a nation that God is and will do what he says he will do, no matter what craziness we're going to see on the news this week. God is still God when there's riots in the streets. God is still God whether your candidate wins or loses. God is still God whether I'm healed or I'm not. God is still God whether I have to have their surgery or not, because my footsteps have been ordered of the Lord. He has fabricated them. He has gone before me. And so either we're going to trust God or we're not. And so that's what it's looking at. So many times we'll quit just before the water gets to below our nose. And you never get to see the great deliverance of who God is. I dare you to walk in somewhere this week and say, I know you're going to tell me the results, but Jesus is my healer. Just sniff a little of that water just before they give you the results. Dare to believe in a situation like that. Just before you call the bank to check your balance. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, the water is up to my nose, but I'm trusting you. You are my provider. You know, we've got to dare to believe and believe that he is who he says he is, no matter what it is that we see. Glory to God. When they were crossing over the Red Sea, Pharaoh was coming behind them. What many preachers don't preach is, yes, they were delivered from Pharaoh, but had there not been a Pharaoh, they never would have seen the deliverance of God. That's why your enemies work for you. Pharaoh did a lot for you and I to be able to have a story, a marvelous story of the great delivering power and how God can rescue us and set us free and part waters for you and I. But if there never was a Pharaoh, there never would have been a miracle. That's why your enemies work for you. The people who don't like you, the people who talk about you, the people who only talk about what you used to be like and not the new you. They're doing more for you. Had there never been an enemy, you never would have been able to see the goodness of the Lord in your life. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to be sending their enemy flowers this week. And so God will take a crisis and turn it around. You know what a crisis is? A crisis is really defined as a turning point. It's a radical change of status in your life. How God really defines a crisis for us, notice it's called a turning point, is often we see crisis as a place of defeat, as an ending point, but really God sees a crisis as opportunity. See, if you and I will really trust in who God is, then you'll see crisis in your life, in our nation, in our world today, that it's an opportunity for God. God wants you and I to begin to see the crisis that we're enduring in our lives, the problem in our life, and realizing that the life that God puts in each of us is larger than the life that we're living. The life that God puts in each of us is larger than the life that we're living. The reason that we even come up against any kind of crisis is because God doesn't want us to stay in a comfort zone. You ever get comfortable? Yes. God doesn't want us to get comfortable. God's always keeping us moving. So crisis is not a setback, it's an opportunity. Will you dare to believe and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop trying to make 2 + 2 = 4. Sometimes when you're doing and dealing with something in the midst that God has allowed to happen in your life, it doesn't always come up to 4. We're trying to make it all fit and make it all look pretty. How many of you know that sometimes life, when God has ordered your steps, it's not always cute and snug? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's challenging. And so God wants you and I to understand that it's been it may look like a setback, but really it's a setup. In other words, God doesn't want you and I to pray the storm away. But really, what Paul tells us to do, don't pray the storm away. He said, pray that your inner man be strengthened. Pray that the inner man inside of you, pray that the spiritual part of who you are becomes strengthened. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God wants us to be spiritually strong so that we can stop reacting to things and start responding to things. Because reacting and responding are two very different things. Reacting is what you do when you do it without even thinking. Responding is what you and I do after considering it and knowing what is the right way to respond. Another way to look at it is reacting is when you react because it makes you the victim. But when you respond, you're doing so specifically and intentionally. Meaning, you can pick on me, that doesn't mean I have to blow up and hit you. Right? My response could be more godly than that, right? In other words, God says life is going to happen to you, Adam. What I don't want you to be is a victim to life. That's why God has said over our lives, that's why God has said over us that we are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens us. God's saying, Adam, don't allow yourself to become defeated by what's going around you, by what's going on in you, by what's going on to you. He said, because you are not a victim of your circumstance. Instead, you're a victim. Your circumstance is victim to you. Hear what I'm saying. God wants you and I to understand who we are. When you know who you are, then you'll realize you're bad. You'll realize that waves and oceans will bow down just because you walk up to them. You need to realize that's how God sees you. I said earlier that he sees you, that you're the apple of his eye, that he calls you and says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Then you and I need to realize that how awesome we really are, how God sees you and I, and that God does not want you and I to be defeated and depressed and broken down and weary or any of those things. God says, I want you to see yourself as I see you. I want you to see the greatness in you that I see in you. And so that's why it's important that we know the word. That's why it's important that we put enough word inside of us so that when trouble or crisis comes, I can put the word back up against it. That's how I know that every storm, everything that rises against you, it has to bow down. If you and I said earlier, the word will work if you work the word. Meaning that when crisis comes up against you, if you'll put the word against it, it'll bow every time. It will bow every time because the word works if you and I work the word, but you and I've got to know what the word says about us. That's why he says that you are a victor, not a victim. I'm a victor, I'm not a victim. Yeah, I made some bad decisions, and at times in my life, I was a victim. Come on, somebody. But now I know who I am. The Bible says I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So I used to be a victim in my life, but now that God has awakened me up, I know who I am in Christ. And therefore, I am not a victim, but I am a victor. I am overcoming. Even the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm no longer a victim. I'm no longer going to see setbacks in my life. None of those things. Hallelujah. Because I've learned if I want a different result, I have to have a different reaction. Right? Paul says in Acts chapter 20, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Most important thing right there is Paul says, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Meaning nothing shakes him. Nothing brings surprise to him. What Paul was really saying, he says, none of these things move me. That word move right there, what Paul says is none of these things make me or do me. How many have ever said, I wouldn't have done that if you didn't make me? Not true. Nobody, Paul says right there, it's the truth of the word of God. Nobody can make you do anything. They pushed your buttons and you made a choice. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, you chose to cuss them out. They didn't make you cuss. Oh, Lordy Jesus, hallelujah. There will be multiple things, but you and I always have a choice. That's the beauty of how this is. The Bible says that our footsteps are ordered of the Lord, that God prefabricates them, but he still leaves you and I with a choice. God says, Adam, I loved you enough to put before you and set the table for a marvelous life. But it's often the choices that you make that distance you from the table that I set for you. I realize that it's choices that I've made that's not allowed the word of God to be activated in my life. Paul said, nothing. Nothing can make me or do me. Nothing. In other words, when they fire you from a job, that doesn't determine your success or your failure, because nothing will move you. If you and I know who we are in Jesus Christ, it won't move you. It won't change you. Are you hearing the word of the Lord? It allows you to handle whatever happens to you. See, it's not about the things that happen to you and I. It's about how you handle what happens to you. That's why some of us, our life can be falling down around us and you're not losing your mind. And people are saying, how are you not freaking out right now? It's because you've learned how to handle what life has brought to you. There was a time you would have done things a lot differently. Come on, anybody else? You'd have thrown things, busted them, broke them. You'd have acted a fool. You'd have acted crazy. Oh, Lord. Oh, he's going to get a good one started. Now, nobody, don't let that make you or do you. Nobody. Don't let it trigger you. See, God's saying, I want you to get to a point where I can grow you enough to where nothing triggers you. Where you make the decision that nothing like Paul will make you or do you. You know how the people that love you know how to push your buttons? Mm-hmm. They know exactly what to say to make you go from 0 to 60. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to send them flowers. Yeah, see, they know. They know what to do. But God's saying, Adam, I want you to become so ingrained with the word of God. I want you to understand so much what I say about you that nothing they say or do will trigger you. I want you, Adam, to understand that I have you covered when you're in a crisis. I want you to understand, Adam, that whatever they say about you, whatever they do to you, you're still covered. As long as you don't step outside of my will. As long as you don't make a decision to take care of this on your own. Uh-huh. As long as you don't make the decision to go out there in the street and fight it out on your own, I've got you covered. See, Joseph was covered. The text that we looked at, he was covered. I got to stop. I didn't even get through half the message. So we got to just fast forward. So Joseph was sold off, forgotten. People were jealous of him, didn't like him. And so much so, but God had him covered. And Joseph just stayed right in the center of where God had him. Wherever it was that, and whatever happened to him, it was what happened to Joseph and how he responded to it that turned out made the difference in his life. Joseph didn't allow what happened to him. Joseph decided, he said, you know, this is what life has brought me. How many of you know that sometimes life doesn't look fair? And you've looked at your life and you said, man, how come I had to deal with this? But they never did. Trust me, their life isn't pretty either. They just lie better than you. Everybody's life has fallen apart and they've got some issue, some problem going on. It's just yours was public. It's what you do with what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. So God says, Adam, you have a choice. And Joseph had a choice. All right. Joseph had a choice. Come here and stand here, will you? Just, I'm going to use him as an illustration. Can I get you a couple guys to come up here on the back there? So let's just say he's Joseph, all right, or he's each of you, all right? All right. I need one more. Somebody. Yeah, David, come here. I want you guys to face him. All right, you just stay right there. Face him. And when David comes, all right, if you, the three of you, I want you just to join, kind of join your hands and connect around him. Now, what God wants you and I to understand, and with the story with Joseph, and there are many others, is that as long as Mike stays right in the center there, these men represent the covering of who God is. Psalm says that he who dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. That is, as long as you and I understand that God, that he has ordered your footsteps, if I'm the enemy, nothing I do can really get to him because he's covered. Job was covered. And it, well, the Bible says that the enemy could not get to Job until God had removed the hedge around him. When God says that you and I are covered, what he really means is a hedge. That around each of us, there's a hedge of protection. And the only way that me, if I'm the enemy, can get to Mike is if Mike chooses to come outside of the covering, just step outside. Now, the moment that Mike chooses to take things into his own hands, I'm going to come outside the will of God. I'm going to make a decision. I've got him. A lot of the things that you and I are blaming on the enemy, we're blaming on the enemy. Yeah, the enemy had something to do with it, but you made a choice to remove yourself from the covering of who God is. God said, Adam, I have already ordered the footsteps of Mike. But it was only when Mike said, I'm going to take things in my own hands, that the enemy was able to get a hold. See, sometimes there's times in our life where we'll make decisions and the enemy steps in, and yeah, it was the enemy, but it all began with a choice. Hell can come knocking at your door, but it's what you choose to do when it knocks, what the outcome will be. You've got to trust and rely on, like the children of Israel, that even though the water's going to come up just below your nose, you're going to keep walking. You're not going to give in. Don't turn back where you used to be. Because there's nothing good where you came from. God says, I want you to look forward. I want you to look to where I'm taking you. Because if there was something good where you came from, God would have left you there. But the fact that I know that there's nothing good where you all came from is because he didn't leave you there. He brought you forward. He brought you through it. He brought you beyond it. Amen? So we're going to stay covered. God has us covered in Christ. Thank you, guys. I just wanted to make it a visual so you understand. Hallelujah. God has us covered in Christ. I didn't get done with the message, but I got to stop there. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet this morning? He has us covered in the crisis. Glory to God. Whatever the crisis may be. It could be financial. It could be marital. It could be relational. It could be in the workplace. It could be anywhere. God has us covered in the midst of the crisis. It's only up to you and I what the outcome is going to be. Are we going to surrender to being allowing our footsteps to be ordered of the Lord? Or are we going to try to take things in our own hands when crisis comes? Hallelujah. I believe we're going to follow out the footsteps of the Lord. What you're gonna, many of you are taking discipleship class. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. I promise you that. You're going to find out why, what makes you tick. Hallelujah. So it might make even a whole lot more sense in the weeks to come. Hallelujah. Aren't you blessed? Now don't use the word I gave you today as a weapon against your spouse. I'm serious. Use the word today in prayer. But don't use it as a weapon. All right? God didn't want to get you all suited up to only send you home with weapons of warfare to one another. Hallelujah. Use it for your benefit. Amen. As we leave this place and people leave us online, people online can give as we log off today. We'll give on our way out today. God's a great big God, a wonderful God, marvelous. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to give. And so we're going to pray great blessings and abundance upon you. But I want to pray today as we close over your crisis. Everyone in this room probably has some kind of a crisis. And I'm just going to pray that we stay covered in the midst of it. Father, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, we bless you today. Great and mighty God, the Lord, we recognize that oftentimes we're in a crisis. Father, oftentimes we're facing a problem. But Lord, I thank you that we are covered in it. I thank you that, Father, we are covered in the midst of the crisis and that, Lord, we're protected. Father, I pray that you would use the word today to encourage us and to help us and to keep pushing and pressing on. Father, I thank you that, Lord, we're not going to step outside of the will of God, but, Lord, we're going to allow our steps to be ordered of the Lord. That, Lord, even though there's pressure, even though the enemy might be breathing down our neck, I thank you that, Lord, we're going to stay right in the center of God where you need us and you want us to be. God, we give you the glory and the praise for it. God, as we go about the week, I thank you that our steps have been ordered of the Lord. I thank you that, Lord, we're going to understand more about who we are and whose we are and, God, what you've called us to do. Father, bless us. Walk with us. Bring us back to our next appointed time together, I pray. Lord, just do marvelous things in these people's lives this week. Be with them as they face doctors and testing and reporting. Be with them as they may encounter enemies and their own chaos this week and their own crisis. I pray in the name of Jesus that we're going to stay right in the center of God where you desire and designed us to be. God, we give you the glory and the praise for it. Now, Lord, bless every offering, breath, every tithe that comes in today in the name of Jesus. I pray, multiply it. I thank you. I praise you for it. Give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus, your powerful and your great and mighty name, we say today, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful week, everybody.